This is eRetailer Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network. Now the host of eRetailer Conversations with Principle of Profits Plus Solutions, here's your host, Tom Shea, and co-host, Bill Kendi.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us tonight. Glad you're able to take time away from your business to come and be a part of our program. We are thrilled to have with us a special guest tonight because we have been waiting a long time for this guest. We spoke to him many months ago and had to sit on the sidelines waiting for his availability, and tonight was the first shot we could have him. But the rest of us, Mr. Bill and I, we're always here. Mr. Bill, Bill Kendi, are you there, my friend?
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
Sir, it's warm in Florida, and after having spent the last couple of days in Massachusetts, where their high is about another 12 degrees lower than our low, it's a little hot down here.
Well, that's why you live in Florida.
Yeah, that and our state bird, the mosquito.
Well, and then of course the little thing. Don't forget about that. No state income tax deal.
Well, that's true. We don't have that one, and I've been out of town lately, so I don't know if we've just had or we're going to have our school sales tax exemption. I've seen a couple of states of late where they have had it.
Well, that's right. Where you don't pay tax on school supplies or clothes, right?
We have a tax holiday, or we have had in the past a tax holiday that kicks in for. 3 or 4 days every year that says here's an exemption for you that you all the school clothes, school supplies, things like that you can get out.
That's really cool.
Let's see. Let me take care of business to tell everyone. You are listening to eRetailer Conversations with your host, Tom Shea, Bill Kendi. It's Thursday, August 15th, 2013. We are recording the session tonight. It will be on the ProfitsPlus.org website in two formats. One will be an MP3 for those who want to use an iPod or other similar device. And it will also be up there as a click-and-listen program on the website just as soon as our information stud, Mr. Bruce Giroux, is able to work his magic with the recording. During the time of the call tonight, we will be monitoring the email. If you have a question you want to send in, send it to editor@ProfitsPlus.org, And I will be monitoring my Facebook page during the call, so anyone who has a question that you want to ask, any comments that you would like us to direct to tonight's guest, or anything you need just to tell Bill or I, feel free to do so. Okay, that's taken care of.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
I have a hard time walking, talking, and chewing gum at the same time. How do you do all that?
I have a desk with sheets spread out all across it, and just as soon as I have finished with a page as to this is what I'm supposed to do, then I toss that page over towards the trash can and say, okay, that job is out of the way, and now we move on to the next task at hand, whatever it may possibly be, and hopefully we get to it, and if not, I fail, well, then it's just left for you to take and cover for me.
Okay. Well, you're a better man than I, sir.
No, I just have quicker fingers at the moment. So, shall I ask you to introduce our guest, and I should cue up the music that we have selected for him?
I would be delighted.
Okay. Of course, now we should also tell him, because our guest is hitting all behind the curtain at the moment. We do ask our guest every month to give us some suggestions for music to be played when they're introduced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our guest did do it, correct?
I think he did swell.
And what did we do with the music that he suggested?
What did we do with it?
Yes. We ignored it. We threw it in the trash can.
Oh! You had me for a loss right that way. I thought yes, that's very true. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, we took his suggestions. He's got great advice. We just decided we felt better qualified to pick music for him because we found a song that we thought was more appropriate to him, didn't we?
Well, yes, and it's two against one, so we win.
There we go. Okay. You want to start? Go ahead, and I'll jump in here in a second with a song to back you up. How's that?
I will be delighted. Well, for all of you listening, our guest is a gentleman by the name of Steve Drake. And Steve is the president of the SED Group Consulting Firm. It's a company that specializes in helping small business, associations, and nonprofit organizations succeed in their cause marketing efforts. In addition to all that,
you've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past is. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you.
So that's our song. Where's our friend? Where's my buddy Steve Drake?
Oh, Tom, here I thought you were going to pick the Ohio State fight song for me.
The what?
Why would I want to do that?
I was wondering, how long in the call was it going to take you before you had to mention Ohio State?
Well, yeah, really.
Okay, I mean, we've lasted 7 minutes. 7 minutes, and you've already mentioned Ohio State.
I wanted to get it out of the road.
Okay, well, now let's do this one, so let's be fair for everybody. Bill Kendi, your school?
Oh, well, I'm an MSU graduate.
So we have a Michigan State and Ohio State. This is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you guys are both from the, what's that conference?
Oh, the Big Ten.
You know.
The Big Ten.
The Big Ten, which has 14 schools.
Yeah, okay. Can't count good, but you're the Big Ten school. And, of course, and then there is me, the true Southerner, and my school is Arkansas, and I'm a part of the SEC. So I guess, let's see, because this is the month we start playing football. On this call, we have two people from the Big Ten. We have one from the SEC. The odds are almost fair. I'll try to go easy on you because I know I've got an advantage with a 2-1 on you, okay?
Oh, God, give me a break.
You know, we have lots of stories about the Big Ten down here in the South. But, yes, Big Ten, go Ohio State. So, Steve.
You're not going to go to me on that one. I'm not going to go there.
Well, you know, what can I say? You know, it's that time of year where we all get to enjoy our sports, enjoy our schools, and it is. It's a big item for your part of the country. It's a big item for our part of the country. It gives us something to talk about and visit with each other. I'm just glad we have it and we can enjoy the visit.
Well, we're all into our causes, aren't we?
Yes.
Very good.
All right, so let's do the first thing, okay? Because Steve has taken the moniker in Twitter world, Causeaholic. And we prompted people in participating tonight to say, come and listen to what Steve has to say, because we're going to talk about, and we use the phrase, cause marketing. So let's let the master start the evening with a definition. Okay, Steve, floor is yours.
Hey, okay, well, let me start with just a brief story, because the big issue is why. And just to start, you know, several years ago I was visiting a Chili's restaurant in the fall, and while being seated, the hostess wanted to know if I wanted to create a pepper, which is a single little coloring sheet with a pepper outline. And what I found out is kids at Chili's, in the fall, get to color the sheets, and then Chili's puts them up all over their restaurant. And when you check out, of course, at the cash register, you're asked, wouldn't you like to make a donation to Chili's Create a Pepper, Make a Difference campaign? That campaign is pushing towards $50 million in donations to the St. Jude's Children Research Hospital. And I thought what's telling is that started not at the big corporate headquarters, but it started at a single Chili's restaurant. And that was
one manager?
Time. Huh?
One manager came up with the idea and just started doing it?
Yep, and then the restaurant thought, hey, that's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
About the same time that happened, two of my clients, the Christmas Spirit Foundation and the National Christmas Tree Association, partnered up with FedEx to provide a free farm-grown Christmas tree to military families. And over the last 6 or 7 years, we've touched the lives of 100,000 military families. And that led me to go to the Cause Marketing Forum to figure out what the heck have I gotten myself into. And it's, as you mentioned, Cause Marketing. I want to start with why. Why the heck should a small business get engaged in cause marketing? And again, it's marketing, just like your other marketing, other advertising, but obviously with a twist to support causes. The number one reason why you do it is to connect with your customers and your community and to get them to share your passion about why your company does, what it sells. And so it's a way to give back to support a worthy cause. Especially, this is especially for those of you who have or are seeking to reach the younger millennial generation, because they are really drawn to those who support their causes. And I think it's important to say it's not about you or your business. It's about the community, your customers, and your cause. And the end result, if you focus on that cause and do a good job of marketing what you're doing, you'll end up with more customers and you'll make more money.
So everybody wins.
Huh? Yeah,
everybody
that's the whole
can
idea.
Win.
Win. What it is, you know, what the heck is it? It's, first of all, what it's not. It is not a donation. Or it's not a sponsorship at a golf, you know, to buy a whole of the golf event. The easiest definition is that cause marketing is a partnership between a nonprofit and a for-profit that's designed to generate funds and or support for the cause. And there are a bunch of different forms of point of purchase. So, you know, somebody goes to the counter and when they're asked, do you want to give a dollar to whatever, there's product sales, there are branded events like a run or a walk, there's a firm, dry cleaners up in Buffalo, New York area that does a really great job at causes. So they've got what they call gowns for proms. Some people then make a matching donation that says, if you come to our restaurant on a given time and night, we'll donate a dollar or give you a percentage or whatever. So there's many different ways to do it. But the bottom line is it is marketing, and it is a partnership between your business and a not-for-profit cause or charity.
Okay.
And I think pause there before we get into how do you do this.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, let me tell people tonight, our guest, Mr. Steve Drake. Steve has recently seen the error of his ways in living in the North. Although he lived in a nice part of the country, he's from St. Louis for many, many years. Steve owned a company called Drake, and they were an association management company. And this is where I had first chance to meet Steve 12, 13 years ago. Steve has since decided he wants to live and work out of Florida. I want to do a quick promo for Steve in that I subscribe to a lot of daily announcements and things all across the industry. Of all the stuff that I receive, Steve has the one that I make absolutely certain that I read every day, 5 days a week. If you are a member of your trade association, if you're a member of a nonprofit board, anywhere along those lines, I would invite you to go to his website, which is SCD Group, scdgroup.net, and sign up to receive Steve's daily blog. It is some great information, and if you want to get a hold of Steve, you can do so simply steve@scdgroup.net. So this is our guest for tonight. In just a quick second, we're going to continue because we've got a bunch more questions that we want to ask Steve Drake about your business.
This is eRetailer Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network.
All right, Steve Drake, so if you would, kind sir, continue on. Tell us some more, as well as we've got some questions. We have we sent to Steve earlier today some questions that people had sent. So, Steve, show us how.
Well, I'm going to say I opened a little bit with why you do it and what it is, and the next part's how. And from my perspective, you as a small business want to decide what's the cause that will resonate with our customers, our target customers, and our staff. And you personally, and so you need to find that harmony, because if you don't believe in it, it's not going to work. And the same way, be something around hunger or bullying or homelessness or environment or reading or education or whatever else, but it needs to fit your business model. For example, I said, you know, a meat company is probably not going to want to partner with a nonprofit that promotes vegan diets.
That's a good idea.
It doesn't have to be in your same field, though. One of the neatest ones I thought was Colgate partnered with a nonprofit called Reading is Fundamental. And at first you say, toothpaste and reading, what the heck are that? Well, their campaign was healthy bedtime habits for a lifetime, brush your teeth and read. And that's the kind of thing you want to be looking for is what is it, what cause or what's the issue that I really feel passionate about, and there's a cause in my community that I can partner with, and then it's taking charge. And I often get the question, can a small business really do this? So I mentioned Colgate and I mentioned Chili's restaurants, and the answer is yes. One way is to, if your industry has got a cause going, is then tie into that. So like I mentioned the Trees for Troops program, that was a big national program, but it was all done tree farm by tree farm by tree retailer. More than 600 farms involved. Some of these are only part-time businesses. Some of them were full-time. But they all were able to partner and participate in that. And some farms only donated 5 trees. Some donated more than 1,000. but yeah. they were able to generate huge amounts of local publicity on the day that FedEx came to pick up their trees. And they were the local. We gave them tools from the national standpoint of, you know, suggested news releases and Facebook and social media, but they really got the TV stations out and the newspapers out, and it generated lots of positive news and created an awareness for them as well as them. Of course, the core purpose, it made them feel really good about what they were due to help military families that were celebrating the holidays, somebody overseas.
And I remember on that evening seeing you on national news. Weren't you in California at that point?
And NBC did a news piece on it. It was a great program. But, again, in my mind, all causes are local. So we could talk about the Chili's restaurant program, the Create a Pepper, and how that benefits St. Jude's Research Hospital. But if a local Chili's restaurant does not participate, there is no program. And so it's really important from that perspective, to say, you know, I can do this. I've got probably maybe 10 things that I think are really important to be successful. And do I take a break or want me to jump in and go through those?
Well, let's start. Let's see, before we get to the bottom of the hour, why don't you go start heading down the list?
Okay. Number one, make it personal. As I mentioned, it's got to be something you can be passionate about. And more, just as importantly, something your customers will be passionate about, something that really resonates with them in your community. You know, it could be to save a park. It could be to build a playground in one of the parks or in one of the schools. So it needs to be something really personal. Secondly, focus on the cause, not your business. The cause will generate support for your business, but you want to focus on the cause.
All right. So let me ask this one. And you're saying in picking the cause, for your first point, would it be a possibility that the business would send a questionnaire to their customers and say, we want to be involved in the community, where would you like to see us get involved, and let them make the nominations?
Could do that. By the way, you could do that via Facebook or Twitter or some other, you know, form of social media. You could use Pinterest to have photos of the three or four causes you're thinking about and ask them to vote.
Okay.
That works. If in the end, you, the owner of the business, going to have to decide what really resonates. Again, it's important that it resonates with not only the customers but also your staff, because you want them motivated. If they're at the cash register, they're the one that's going to ask to participate. Or I'll tell you, when we did Trees for Troops, FedEx had hundreds of volunteers that took time off of work to help come to the military base to unload the trees and load them back on the military family cars.
And I got a question. Go ahead.
A benefit of that, of cause marking, is it energizes your staff.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'd like to ask a question about when you said make it personal for you and your customers, too. I'm kind of the same notice. What if you have – I'll give you an example. I have done a lot of business in the firearm industry and for retailers. And is there some things that retailers ought to kind of shy away from that may, even though they appeal to their base, may result in buzz, if you will, that is beyond what the original intentions were?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. And this, actually, the buzz was a negative to the charity in this case, but a year and a half or so ago, KFC sponsored a program with the American Heart Association called a Buckets for the Heart or something like that. And people really jumped on the American Heart Association and say, what the heck are you accepting the cause partnership with somebody that they felt, the opposition felt, wasn't healthy food? So you do need to be careful about who you partner with and make sure it won't embarrass you or them.
Mm-hmm. What about, Steve, in a situation in selecting the partnership, that maybe it doesn't do the best for your business. In this, and let me give two examples. The first one I think of is a side of logic would say a local hardware store would partner with Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. Yet the folks at Home Depot are really big into Habitat for Humanity. And my concern would be if you were a business, a hardware store in a town and there was a Home Depot, then you're not really going to get a lot of benefit out of it because Home Depot is more identified with the Habitat for Humanity than you possibly could be. Would you still go ahead and do it, or would you say this is a time when you need to go find something else?
Saying it, so that's a great segue. No, to me, as a small business, I want to partner with a smaller charity because, okay, you'll get lost in the big one like Komen Race for the Cure or Habitat for Humanity or Big Brother, Big Sister. I mean, most of those big charities just, you get lost in them. And so I would, in your case, at a hardware store, maybe it's with a homeless shelter or something else where you can use the hardware to build or your customers to build or to support. It could be a home for abused women and kids, although, again, they got some privacy issues, so that might be harder. But I shy away, even as a national organization, unless you're a major, major national group, I mean, some of these big charities want $50,000 for you to be a partner up front.
Well, I was going to say, without naming one, I had heard a person who mentioned an organization, and they were told that if you're going to partner with this and use our name, we expect a $30,000 check in the front.
Wow, that's low. I've heard some as many as $100,000. So, again, for a small business, pick something local. You're local, match with something local.
Okay, somewhere where you can make a real difference and you are very much so appreciated.
That's the key. I mean, a big charity, and they're important, but what's another $1,000 or $10,000 to them, to a local group? With a local cause, that's why, you know, go back to your hardware store. Why not help create a program to build a park, a playground?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, Steve, your point also segues into one of the questions that we got, which was a person who was doing some things, and the results weren't that well. So perhaps then, and I hope I'm not jumping to point 3 through 10 somewhere, is that you need to then perhaps make sure that that organization knows how to partner with you.
Yeah, and I think in reading that question, in this case, the business left it up to the charity to do all the promotion for it. And the goal was to drive members of the charity to that business's location. And this was my point number 7, for you to get the most benefit for cause marketing, you need to do the marketing and the promotion and the PR and work with the charity. Hopefully the charity will do it in partnership. So let's go back to Trees for Troops and FedEx. And by the way, FedEx didn't ask us for money, and we didn't ask them for money. But we both were aggressive in the public relations and the marketing, as it was in both our interests to do that. So, to me, in this particular case, where this owner essentially relied on a charity to drive people to her retail location, there just got no, you should own this. And it's what it's doing is you want to be sure you're caught doing good. And the only way to get caught doing good is to make sure the news media and others know that. The other thing I have found, and again, looking at her questions, her goal was that, you know, that church or that cancer group would send people to her retail outlet. I think the more successful marketing first engages your current customers, and then they start telling their friends, and that's how you get more people into your retail outlet. And so was a disconnect. That was really more of a donation program than it was a true cause marketing program.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, what does a retailer have to think about when trying to oh, develop a good fit. I mean, I know that, you know, I know that it's got to be something you got to have passion. Oh, but why don't we do that in a minute? But it's a question. You know, how do you, you know, there's so many good causes out there. How do you decide which one is worthwhile supporting?
Well, you might create your own.
Okay.
For example, like this dry cleaner friend of mine out in Buffalo, he's got three going on, one called Coats for Kids, one called Gowns for Proms, and one called Jammies for GIs. And what he's asking is his customers and their friends to bring in, the case of the Gowns for Proms, bring in one of their kids' prom dresses. They clean it up, and then through a charity, they give it to somebody else that can't afford a prom dress. An auto dealership could do something like, you know, so many dollars to a given cause for every test drive. Some restaurants do, tonight's whatever cause night at our restaurant, we'll give 10% of the profits to that particular group. I was up at a restaurant up in Minnesota once, and they even had, it was for Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts were serving as the bus boys, and they got the tips that night, and that tip was donated to the Boy Scout troop fundraising. It's a matter of trying to be creative in thinking. So let's say the cause might be reading or education. So how does that relate to your retail operation? It could be hunger, or it could be animals, pets. Man, you talk about something related to pet rescue, especially if you might be selling those. But again, pets, it's like the Colgate toothpaste and reading. Look at those things that seem disconnected, but really make a lot of sense. The other thing I want to jump in to on that other call, the other part of cause marketing is you need to be consistent, so don't jump around to 14 different charities that ask you for money. You know,
right.
Have your cause, and this is our cause. And so it started as a tradition, so that, you know, I think Christmas Spirit Foundation and Trees for Troops is in its seventh year or whatever. Yeah, it must be because it started in 2005. So you got to have that tradition, and that builds some momentum, and I think that's important.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We've reached the bottom of the hour, and at this point for our guest, who we managed to keep quite busy with lots and lots of questions, we like to give them a chance to get a drink of water and take a pause. And so our guest is Steve Drake. Steve's company is called SCD Group. You can find their website, SCD Group. That's SCD as in Stephen. I don't know. I've always guessed Steve. I've said Charles. So SCD, Stephen Charles Drake Group, scdgroup.net. And when you're visiting his website, you definitely want to sign up to receive Steve's five-day-a-week daily blog. It's great information. All right. So we're going to give Steve 1 minute and 28 seconds, according to this listing here, of a break from the noise. And, Steve, you picked some music. I decided I had to pick something else for you. Here we go.
Yeah, Tom, I leave in the room that is...
Thank you.
This is the Profitable Business Network.
I got to say, that's the longest 90 seconds I've ever listened to.
Really?
Yeah, you wanted me to rest, and I had to stand up and salute.
It seemed to me that song went on for hours.
Only when you're on the losing end, Bill.
Yeah, it reminds me of almost like the old W.C. Fields joke, I spend a week in Philadelphia one day.
Oh, yeah. Well, the listeners ought to know that Steve, you were quite active with the Ohio State Alumni Association, weren't you, sir?
Yes, I was on the board.
Yeah, and of course, being a Michigan MSU fan, but the only time I really root for that other school in Michigan, what is it called, University of Michigan or something, is when they play Ohio State. So Steve and I have some very professional and friendly rivalries going on here.
Well, that's good.
There you go.
All I will say is it's kind of like the one of the coaches said down here in the SEC, we play football in the SEC all year long, and we fight and beat each other up to come up, and then we just wait from some team from the north or the west to send down their token to take the beating and let us take home the national championship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice, Steve.
Let me ask this question. I want to throw mine in right quick. You did a great job of partnering the Christmas Tree Group with FedEx. From an outsider, I would look at it and say, Christmas trees would have never happened for the troops if FedEx hadn't shown up, because you had to have somebody to transport the trees for you.
Absolutely.
And as I look at this comment that we had tonight, where the person is asking these questions about it, my thought was, perhaps what they would need, the person to go find, is find someone who's a PR specialist. Not that you're going to hire them, but just give them the opportunity to jump in on cause marketing as well. And maybe if you, as the owner of the business, were to take, find the PR specialist and say, who do you think we could partner with? Who'd be a good fit with me? And I need your help in teaching these people how to do it. And most definitely, the owner of this business and the cause that they were tying in with both had the best of intentions, but neither got what they wanted.
Yeah, and I think that's important. Hopefully, you know, a small business has got some marketing help, or in either in-house or external. I think, again, there is the cause marketing forum, and I think it's causemarketingforum.com, has all kinds of case studies up there that I believe you can get to. I would say, too, if you narrow your scope down to three or four, maybe not even that, two or three sort of cause areas that you're interested in, you know, then look within your community at, okay, who's the organization that's doing that? Keep in mind, I'm saying there's a cause, and then their organization. So, you know, let's go back to Trees for Troops. The cause was military families were separated at the holidays, and so they were lonely, and they were on the bases, and they didn't have access or money to get Christmas trees. And so the Christmas Spirit Foundation is just the organization that helped put it together. FedEx was the organization that helped deliver the trees. So locally, think of the cause first, then look at what community organizations, nonprofits, are in that space. And then, I mean, sit down with them. FedEx came to the Christmas Tree Association with a whole different idea that didn't make sense to us. We went back to them and said, we got this idea for Trees for Troops, but we don't have any way to get the trees to the troops. We got the trees, but we don't have the delivery. And FedEx has some pretty good logistics and a lot of trucks. So I would look at the cause. What is it you want to do that will better your community, and that in the process of that will build your reputation and build the fact that you're a community-oriented company that will get people to be excited about you and your business? And then what is that cause, and how do we make that work? And one of the other things I want to be sure to say, it has to be transparent. So when you see a company that says, we're going to donate a dollar per widget to XYZ cause, then the first question it should be is, well, unlimited, or is there a cap on that? And so if you're going to say, we'll donate a dollar of for every item bought in our retail store during this period, you need to say up to $5,000 or up to $1,000 or up to $10,000 so that you're transparent. So that, because there are a lot of causes out there now, and you want to be upfront with people about, well, where's it going and how much are you going to do? So if like it's a matching dollar for dollar kind of a program.
Okay. Yeah, when you mentioned this one, Steve, I think about when they did the Dine Out America event years ago after the 9/11 tragedy, and the national ad, and here were a lot of regional and national chains, and when I was seeing donations that were 5% of net profit or 10% of our profit, and I thought, that's kind of a strange one to be able to say, you know, are they being truthful about it? To me, and also, and I don't mean to pick on them, they are a charitable company, but when Target announces, you know, here's how much money we give, and you got to say, you know, in the grand scheme of things, really, what's happening here? Numbers can sound good, but if you're not being really...
Well, that's one of the challenges big companies have, which, by the way, gives you as a small business an opportunity to weasel in there. You know, the big companies, I remember Starbucks offered like 2 cents per cup of coffee to some cause. And everybody said, 2 cents? Well, yeah, but when you multiply how many cups of coffee they sell, it added up to real money. But, again, you're looking at the big company and say, is that all you're going to do? So, but, again, it's really important to be transparent. The other thing is it's important to engage your staff. Give you an example, there was a charity in Missouri that helped support disadvantaged kids. I think, I can't remember, it's called Kids First or Missouri Kids First or something like that. And they approached a grocery chain, small regional grocery chain, just one store. And she told me she happened to bump into the manager on a bike and said, hey, you know, I'm trying to sell some T-shirts and for raise money and, you know, would you put a sign up and collect the money? And gosh, would you let your employees wear our T-shirts for the week? And he approached his staff, and this is where I say engage your staff. They were ecstatic about it and said, well, we want, actually, she asked for a day, and they said, no, we like wearing this shirt instead of our grocery store uniform. Could we wear this the whole week? Well, it turns out, then the customer saw this T-shirt and said, where do I buy one of these? And in that one store, this small charity raised $30,000 that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was,
well,
it was
bad. You know, a store doesn't necessarily have to donate funds to the cause, do they, David? I mean, like, for example, I saw in our Kroger store, they have, you know, revolving... you know, it's like a loop of, you know, different, you know, what's on special and stuff like that. And one of them was a cause to support, get a cure for, not Alzheimer's, but, for kids, it's the reading disorder. But anyway, you know, I don't think they donate.
Autism.
I don't. Go ahead.
Yeah, autism.
Autism, exactly. But I don't know that the store is actually donating any money, but they're becoming a vehicle for the collection and the support of that cause. Is that, that transfers goodwill also, don't you think?
Bill, that's a great point. Yes, you can be the vehicle. You can offer to put posters up. You can offer that when they come through the cash register, your person to register asks, well, would you like to donate a dollar to XYZ cause?
Right.
You could help them recruit people for a walk, a run, a ride, whatever it is they're doing. Or you, and some people, again, you could say, we'll match or we'll donate the first whatever amount of dollars. But no, you don't need to. The key is you do something that gets in the minds of your customers and your prospects, this retail store supports a cause important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
How about...
And you got to do it enough. I mean, causes probably shouldn't last more than a month, a week. A Truth for Troops was an 18-day program. Some do it for maybe a whole month. But you need to do it consistently enough, and you need to start planning soon enough that you can get lots of publicity out there, that you can get your customers and your staff excited about what you're doing, and to get recognized that this is your thing, which is another reason why I say find a cause that resonates in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And make it your deal. Don't get lost in supporting Habitat or Komen Race for the Cure or one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Not that those aren't good causes. It's just they're so big and so massive, you'll get lost in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where are we at on your list of, was it 10, I believe you said?
Yeah, I had 10. Again, I said make it personal, focus on the cause of your business, choose a cause, choose a date, be consistent, be transparent, engage your staff, you be in charge of marketing, and do not forget social media. Because remember, if you want to get caught doing good, the target, the younger generation, but anymore, almost all generations are going to be somewhere, Facebook, Twitter, etc., and that gives recognition far beyond the boundaries of where you live. But don't forget newspapers and local flyers and television and radio. My next one, number 8, was establish some metrics so you know what you're going to reach. And by the way, It took the Komen Race for a Cure a long time to be an overnight success.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're not going to own this, and you're not going to be overwhelmingly popular the first time out of the box, no matter what you do. And so
mm-hmm.
you got to measure and know what it is. And again, the person that wrote in was concerned because only 2 people from the church came to her retail outlet based on this program. Well, to me, that was the wrong request. The request should have been engage your existing customers, and then if the cause will bring people to your facility, that's great, but start with your existing customers. And in that case, that example where she was helping support a church building program probably wasn't the right program because not all of her customers are members of that one church, so... But have metrics so you know what you've done. So in our case, go back to Trees for Troops, our benchmark was how many military families could we get trees to? Okay, and so then it was, did we reach that goal? Then we measured how much media attention, how much publicity, and we actually did research afterwards to say, did that make people want to support FedEx? Did that make people want to buy a real farm-grown Christmas tree?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And number 9 I had was be flexible. My wife was a teacher, and she always told me about the teachable moments. You have a lesson plan, but something happens in the classroom, jump on a teachable moment. So I played ice hockey, and we changed on the fly. So an opportunity pops up, don't be afraid to take it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it could be something that just all of a sudden shows up on your doorsteps. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. In our case, it was a call from FedEx. And thank
mm-hmm.
goodness staff knew about Trees for Troops because he was able to switch FedEx from what they wanted to do to what we wanted them to do. And so that's the other thing is make sure your staff know. And I mean, Tom, you mentioned do we have a contest or some kind of a poll of our customers? I would have a poll and a survey of our staff. because it's really important for them to feel important and feel like it's something they want to do. Here's what cause marketing does for your staff, and I don't care whether you got 2 staff or 100 staff. It makes them feel good about working for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick the right cause. I mean, man, the Peace for Troops really rallied Christmas tree farmers. Unbelievable. I can't tell you the passion and the pride that the FedEx employees that were at Camp Pendleton felt about what they were doing. And so cause marketing is still marketing to get you more people in the door and buy more stuff from you. But it's also about, this is a doggone good place to work.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting on what you just, go ahead. I was going to say, getting on what you just said, how does a business measure the success of their cause marketing efforts?
The same way they measure success of any marketing.
Okay.
How do people feel about us? Are there more people coming to our store? Are they buying more? Am I getting more media coverage? This is a marketing program. Somebody mentioned Habitat. Whirlpool is a major contributor to Habitat, with the whole idea of putting a refrigerator and a stove in every Habitat home. I was in a session with the head of Whirlpool, and he said, this is a marketing program. We measure all our marketing programs against 7 key indicators. If they don't measure up, they're dead. And he said, the nice thing about it is the Whirlpool's Habitat for the Humanity program is over the top on 7 of the 9 measures or whatever it is, including one of which says when they come to a appliance store, they ask for Whirlpool. So, yeah, it's a marketing program. Measure it, you know, with ROI and all other stuff you do to measure whether an ad or a direct mail flyer or a postcard or a sale.
Well, our guest tonight is Mr. Steve Drake. Steve was a former owner of an association management company. Steve is known for his affiliation with National Christmas Tree Association, Christmas Spirit Foundation, and the Trees for Troops program, and that is one of the reasons why we had invited Steve tonight to come and be a part of the program. You can find Steve online at scdgroup.net. Email to reach out to Steve is steve@scdgroup.net. And this is our monthly program for August 15, 2013. We do this every month with a guest. Next month, we're going to be back on a Thursday night. It's going to be Thursday, September 26th. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern. And, as always, we go out and find someone as a guest to come and join and be a part of our program to share with them.
This was a little bit different, though. We're going to have 2 people, aren't we, sir?
That we are, sir. Don't you want to ask me who we're going to have?
I was just going to say, who might they be?
Oh, very good. Well, Bill, I'm glad that you asked. The call for September is going to be on Thursday, September 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be a double mint gum type of night because we're going to have 2 guests. Our guests for September 26th are going to be from Seattle Central Community College, a college that has a new exciting class coming out geared especially for our audience. And our guest with me right now happen to be Jeff West and Robert Natoli from Seattle Central. Robert, Jeff. Hi, guys.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Well, thanks for coming and joining us right quick. Either of you, both of you, tell folks what we're going to talk about when we get together next month.
Well, we're going to talk about a new class that you've created. It's online. I think that's great for everybody because it's so convenient. We've been able to preview it, and it looks like it's going to be a great value to anybody who's interested in increasing their profits in their small business.
Robert, you and I have worked together for quite a long time on this project.
Well, yes, you and I met a couple of years ago when you were doing some business seminars in Seattle as part of a mitigation program that we had in our neighborhood on Capitol Hill right next to the college. And as a result of those seminars, a discussion came up that small business owners would like to learn about more of the materials you have been presenting in your seminars, but there was really no formal course at the college to present those ideas. And so we decided, why not create the course? And that's what you and I have been doing the past year. You have written a wonderful book that will assist business owners in improving their profits by learning how to better manage the accounting system of their small business.
Well, it has been a fun year together. We have had quite a few conversations, you and I initially, and then Jeff jumping in on the conversation. We've had quite a year putting this whole product together for people. We will get to have everybody together. Well, y'all come and you can talk about the course, and you have a bunch of other courses, though, that people can take that would be geared toward their business.
That's right. I am an instructor in the Business Information Technology program here at Seattle Central that we refer to as BIT. Our curriculum consists of applied technology classes for individuals, as well as a communication series and an entrepreneurship program, which this new course should attract quite a bunch of interest, since as I said earlier, there has been no course like this before on the college. Most college accounting courses are geared towards students who would like to study accounting and become certified public accountants. And what small business owner needs is a very simplified, applied version of those principles in order to not only have a coherent conversation with their accountant, but again, to help the business owner improve their profits.
Well, we'll have a lot for them. I appreciate both you guys being with us to tell them tonight what we're going to be talking about next month. And we'll invite everybody to come and be with us Thursday night, September 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Robert, Jeff, thanks for your time tonight.
Great. We'll look
forward to it. Thank you, Tom.
So that's who we got. That's that's our guest.
Very cool. Very cool, Tom. So you wrote a book, did you?
What's that?
I said you wrote a book, did you?
I have. I've been working on this book for about a year at this point. The deal behind it was that I knew if I was going to teach a college class on accounting, it wasn't something out there. And so I spent the year and wrote the book, and the essence of it is when I finish the book, there's a print version to it, or there's an electronic version to it, and there is an audio version to it. And when I was done, I gave the book to the school. It's theirs for the students, and the only rule is in their part of their course is that the school cannot sell it to students. The school has to give the textbook to students.
Well, that's very cool.
So, and then that the class, I think the first class starts somewhere middle of next month, and then it fills up, then they turn around and start another one. So it's not like it's always every semester. It has a regular frequency to it. So let's go back to our buddy Steve Drake. We got a couple minutes left. Let Steve finish up his list of points before it's time to call for our favorite noise.
Okay.
I got one more number 10, but before I get to that, while you guys are on break or from next month, one thing that people can look at, if, I don't know how many are familiar, but there's a social media site called Meetup, meetup.com. You can look in your zip code, go to meetup.com, look in your zip code, and find what kind of organizations are out there that have regular meetings, some to support causes, some because they love to play golf or hike or bike or whatever else. One possibility is have a meetup group meet at your facility as a fundraiser, and it's a way to bring in people. Like I participated in a couple meetups that were the local restaurant to support a cause. And we went there. The restaurant helped, but there was a silent auction and all that kind of stuff and a registration fee. But I'd encourage you, number one, for your regular marketing, look at meetup.com to find out whether there's people there. I talked to some golf courses about this, and some of them had golfing groups in the 100 and 200 range in their community that they didn't know existed. So I'd urge you to look at meetup.com, you're just punch in your zip code and look for what's available and see if there's something that relates to your business where you can host them either as a fundraiser or just as a meeting or whatever else. My last, number 10, is celebrate your successes. I think too often we in the business and we in the nonprofit world are so eager to go to the next thing, we forget to stop and celebrate. And so I think it's really important that as a part of this, being personal and engaging your staff and making it about the cause and picking the right thing and promoting and marketing this thing and being flexible, celebrate the successes you'll have.
Mm-hmm. A nice list, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Let me just say, I have, I've waited a long, long time to get to have you come and be our guest on the program.
That we have.
It was worth the wait. I have always enjoyed conversations with you. Steve is a great thinker, and if you subscribe to his daily blog, you'll find a lot of information. Email for Steve is steve@scdgroup, and his website, scdgroup.net. Steve, thank you, sir. My pleasure to have had you as a guest. I thank you for what you've shared, and the people who sent in questions appreciate you taking the time to give them the specifics of what they need to be doing.
Tom and Bill, thanks. And Tom, Monday morning's blog is going to hit your hot button.
It is. Good, good. Well, you know, I said I read every one of them every time. Mr. Bill?
No, I already know this one resonates.
Yes, sir? Yes, Steve?
Steve?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying?
I said I know this blog is a topic that resonates with you.
Okay. Well, I assume that it's either good or we're going to make a comparison to something in football or baseball or something of this effect.
No. It's the topic that you talk about.
Okay. Well,
you'll have to read it.
Oh, I will. I'm serious with this. I read every one that you put out. I do not miss any of the Steve Drake stuff. It's always good to listen to.
Well, that's good. I appreciate the chance to talk with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you. Mr. Bill?
I think we're done for the evening, Mr. Tom.
I enjoyed it, my friend. Good to see you.
Yeah, that's what we
time for the magic sound?
Yep. It's time for the money sound that we all love.
Here we go.
It's been our pleasure to share fresh ideas and trends from premier small business owners, coaches, and resources. Join Tom Shea and guests again next month for e-retailer conversations right here on PBN, the Profitable Business Network.